It's Sunday morning. Time for the great outdoors with Charlie Potter. Brought to you by the all-new Chevy Silverado and ChevyDriveChicago.com on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Good morning. Welcome to the Great Outdoors Show. Charlie Potter, your host here on WGN Radio. And hope you very much enjoy the show this morning. We're going to head south of the border to Mexico. And joining me is Kerry Luft, who is the director of the McGraw Center for Conservation Leadership, who accompanied me last week on a bit of a pilgrimage to go to a part of the world that's been off limits basically for the last 6 years. A number of years ago, and I've done some shows on it, I had visited the Laguna Madre, which is basically south of McAllen. It's actually part of the Texas coast, and then it runs down into Mexico. It's the largest wintering area in North America for redheads, actually the largest wintering area for redheads, period, in the world. And I had the pleasure of being there several times, as much as 15 to 10 years ago, and then for reasons of unsettled situation in eastern Mexico, I stopped going. All the lodges closed, and it was basically off limits. Well, thanks to the work of Kerry Luft, we were able to identify an individual in a place who had worked his way back into Mexico. And with that introduction, Kerry, thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Charlie. Buenos dias.
Well, your Spanish is better than mine already. Kerry, let's just start off with what I'd like to do is you're the director of the McGraw Center for Conservation Leadership, which works in the area of economic efficiency and innovation and conservation. And so one of the things that has to be understood, obviously, is what's going on with the wintering population of ducks along the Mexican coast, which really has for several years been relatively untouched. But before I go to that, you obviously spent a lifetime with the Chicago Tribune, if you want to look at it that way. It probably feels like two lifetimes sometimes to you, Kerry. But You spent a lot of time in Mexico and covering Mexico. So for a second, can you walk us through, in your view, what happened, why parts of Mexico became so dangerous, and maybe where we are now and what the future might hold and how this whole sort of expedition you and I went on came into being?
Well, Charlie, the simple word that could be used to describe what happened to make Tamaulipas State and Nuevo Laredo in Mexico off limits to American sportsmen and sportswomen could be one word, Zetas. That's Spanish for the Z's, and they are a very violent Mexican criminal syndicate. They are ruthless. They are known for beheadings of people. They are known for they're essentially a terrorist-based type of organization. They moved into the border states of Tamaulipas and Nuevo León in the last 10 years or so, took on the existing cartels, the Gulf cartel in particular. The Gulf cartel is, let me be clear, they're not good guys, but they were not interested in kidnappings and assassinations. They were a drug smuggling and money laundering operation. And the fight for space, and it was a gang war down there. And no one could ensure the safety of an American traveling in that area. I personally had an experience where I had a deposit down to visit a lodge in Mexico to shoot white-winged doves, and I was called 6 months before, and the lodge said, do not even try it. We're shutting down for the season, and they have never reopened. Now, a good friend of ours, who is one of my personal heroes for his work in the outdoors, particularly in the coastal erosion areas of Louisiana, was one of the lodge owners down there. His, unlike many other people, his operation kept their people employed. They kept an eye on the situation. At the beginning of last year, they found a way to get back into Mexico with, in my view, complete safety. And you and I saw the benefits of that last week.
Well, it's an amazing history for a part of the world where for many, many years, Americans went to northeastern Mexico, Laguna Madre, and that area, San Fernando, for its incredible quail and dove and duck hunting. and very well-known Americans had places, and it was a free, if you will, coming and going situation that, as you said, about 6 years ago just imploded.
Yes.
And I would say, Kerry, that I, when you asked me if we would be pilgrims on this, I had some trepidation, but I also felt that if it can be done, it's an important body of not only work to understand what's going on in that critical part of Mexico for wintering waterfowl, but also it's a place which has some of the best hunting and fishing in the world.
No,
and it's been off limits. So I was thrilled to go back. And let me ask you, Kerry, it was your, I believe, the first time you've been to Laguna Madre.
Yes.
You know of its importance to wintering waterfowl. What was your impression of both the culture and also the experience?
Well, to be, to complete the discussion on the Zetas have apparently been pushed back into the south of Tamaulipas State, which made the area where we were possible to go. And make no mistake, there's still some chances that there are problems. We saw the military on patrol quite frequently when we were down there. But, you know, the culture of that area is one of, it's desperately poor. We know from our personal experience that people are happy to work harder than you and I work on most days for very little money. Where we were is our fishing communities with very rudimentary living conditions and very rudimentary exposure to, shall we say, North American culture. And it's farmland otherwise. You and I were both impressed. You have more context in that area than I do about the amount of land that has been absolutely cleared like a billiard table. At times we thought we were looking at central Illinois. The land was so flat and so clean, as you would say. However, for sports enthusiasts such as ourselves, it is absolutely wonderful. The quail populations are beyond belief because they still have the sorts of farming practices in many areas that promote wildlife instead of just promote economic efficiency of the crops. And while you said the ducks were not there in the numbers that you were used to, it was quite warm when we were there. I don't know if my heart could take it if there were more ducks. So,
well, you mentioned the concept of agriculture. For those of you listening, many of you well familiar with agriculture, being in the business yourselves, this was mesquite country where it was not tall forests. These were, I call them shaggy, you know, short, really tough country, Kerry.
Mm-hmm.
And it has been the amount of clearing that's taken place from when I first went there till now. It is shocking. You commented, there were some fields that appeared to be 3 or 4 or 5 miles in length and equal in width with not a weed on them. And to think that that was all quail cover and heavy mesquite scrubland relatively recently was astounding to me. And their soils are very productive, and modern agriculture has certainly arrived in that part of the world.
Yeah, no doubt about it. We, not too far from the lodge where we stayed, I saw John Deere combine that wouldn't be out of place anywhere in Illinois or the Midwest. There is some serious grain farming going on down there, but there's still lots and lots of wildlife, and that's what attracts us.
And it is, and hopefully the world, as it continues to search, you know, for productive cropland, hopefully, Kerry, that part of the world will not see the complete destruction of habitat, which we've certainly seen in many areas of the Midwest. Let's do this, Kerry. Let's take a quick break. And when I come back, I'd like to talk a little bit about your thoughts on what's taking place with the administration that's taking form. Also talk a little bit about what's going on with the Farm Bill. And just have a general discussion about where you think conservation is headed. But I can tell you, for those of you listening, that Laguna Madre is alive and well, thriving with waterfowl, and it is one of the great wonders of the world. And on, I think on a careful basis, Kerry, you probably would hopefully agree, in a very careful basis, it's okay to go, but you better really know who you're going with.
I would agree 100%. And one last word of caution, things can change very quickly anywhere. So before you go, do your homework.
That's for sure. I'm glad. And I also, I've never been happier to cross a border and see the American flag than I was when we got back, Kerry. We'll be back in just a moment with Kerry Luft, the director of the McGraw Center for Conservation Leadership. And this is Charlie Potter on the Outdoor Voice of Chicago and America, 720 WGN. And first, a message from your Northwest Indiana and Chicagoland Chevrolet dealers.
720 WGN.
Welcome back to the Great Outdoors Show. Charlie Potter, your host. Kerry Luft, the director of McGraw Center for Conservation Leadership, is also on the line. Kerry, we were just talking about our wonderful 4 days in the east coast of Mexico and Laguna Madre last week, and that sort of led us, one of the reasons we were there was the conservation work that's taking place in the Gulf of Mexico, a little bit to the northeast, that being the coast of Louisiana and the coastal erosion, and an individual who is a dynamic leader and trying to come up with innovative ways to address coastal erosion issues. Brian Lampert was the reason you and I went south of the border to see Brian and talk about what's going on. So, Kerry, let me ask you, you're a native Louisianan.
Yes.
It's in your blood, if you will, the marshes of South Louisiana. Let's take a 30,000-foot view for a second as to what's taken place. A lot of our listeners are aware, but some may not be. Can you give us a thumbnail sketch of what's taken place and then really what we might be talking about in the future to do something about it?
Okay, in essence, Charlie, two man-made disasters occurred that have, over the last century or so, absolutely led to huge degradation of the wetlands at the mouth of the Mississippi and also all along the coast of Louisiana. The first was the levees that were built to contain flooding of the Mississippi River and the locks and dams that were built to keep the river in its current bed. As a result, the speed of the Mississippi has picked up. It flows faster. It does not drop the sediment at the Bird's Foot Delta of the Mississippi that it once did. That sediment every year built land at the mouth of the Mississippi. As a result of the channelization, that sediment flies off the shore, and there's a dead zone in the Gulf of Mexico where nothing can live because it's clogged with sediment from the Midwest, frankly. Second was the cutting of channels in the marshland to allow oil and gas exploration and extraction. Not only is that area incredibly rich for wildlife, it's incredibly rich for oil and gas production. Those canals allow the saltwater intrusion to get into the bayous and the backcountry of Louisiana and kill the vegetation that held the marsh land in place. As a result, Louisiana loses about a football field of land every half hour, and the amount of land that has been lost is astonishing. Charlie, I know you've been to the marsh lands of Louisiana many times, the wetlands, and if you go there and spend maybe a year or 2 years in between, land that you stand on today will be gone the next time you go back. The open water, if you look at a map of Louisiana, it looks like a very solid foot. Well, if you, in actuality, that foot has eroded to the point where it's just a bone going down the coast of the both sides of the Mississippi, and the land is disappearing at a rapid rate. This has huge implications. This is the major overwintering place for most of the nation's waterfowl. You know, there's a reason why Louisianans shoot more ducks than any other state. One, they love to duck hunt, but two, there are more ducks there than anywhere else. Louisiana on its own routinely shoots more ducks than the entire Atlantic Flyway. This is to say that the ducks are there. If that land is not there, they will have nowhere to go. What will happen to our prized waterfowl populations? In addition, this is the number one fishery in Louisiana, and it's being destroyed by coastal erosion. And finally, if you don't care about the outdoors and you don't care about going fishing, you don't care about waterfowl, consider this. That marsh is an important buffer against hurricanes. Every mile lowers the flood rise by a foot because it basically acts as a big sponge to soak up storm surge. As that marsh degrades, Louisiana is in more and more peril. New Orleans in particular, major port, crucial to commerce, crucial to the grain interest in the Midwest. Without those marshes, New Orleans is right in the bullseye again for another Katrina-type disaster.
So, Kerry, we've got about 90 seconds left. And what I'd like to do is actually, Kerry, is to continue this conversation, if you'd be kind enough, to come back on the air next Sunday morning, because we're not going to be able to get into the work that Ryan Lambert and some others are doing this morning. But with 60 seconds left, can you summarize the reason America needs to care, have as a high priority, what's taking place in the marshes of Louisiana and why this can no longer be delayed? Can you just really crystallize for us its national importance?
Your waterfowl depends on it. Most of your saltwater fishery in the Gulf of Mexico depends on it, and delivery of the agriculture of the Midwest to the rest of the world through the mouth of the Mississippi depends on it.
It's our main artery out of the Midwest, that's for sure, which is why, you know, the Mississippi is maintained as a major transportation center. But the key point, Kerry, which I don't think most people understand, as you just touched on, is it's the incubator, it's the estuary for so much of America's food,
sure.
In a fisheries perspective. So let's do this. If you'll be kind enough to come back next Sunday morning, I'd like to talk about that. And then I continue our discussion on that, and then I'd love to talk about what your take is on how we're going to be positioned with the new administration and a whole number of issues that are front and center. Thank you, Kerry, for being with us. I really appreciate it. It's Kerry Luff, the director of McGraw Center for Conservation Leadership, and this is Charlie Potter, your host of The Great Outdoors Show on WGN Radio. I hope you have a great week in the great outdoors. WGN 720 Chicago.